right, let's remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God, okay? And I ask God to help us today to preach what I feel like He wants us to preach. It's a joy to be back in the Lord's house. I appreciate the stool, and I'm not a bit too proud to use it if I have to. And so I hope I don't have to. They've taught me a few techniques down there to use, and try to keep my blood pressure up. And so far, I had no problem doing that. It was 157 over 102 when I left this morning, so I had no pressure keeping, no problem keeping it up. Amen. And but it's good to be back in church. I mean that. And I thank God for the privilege that's mine to be back in the Lord's house. And so I want to preach something this morning. I want to say a few words at the beginning before we get into the message, and give you a little reason why I've selected to preach what I'm preaching on today. And I hope that it'll be a blessing. I'll say more about it. Jude and verse 1. And the book right before the book of the Revelation. Jude. Pardon me, I got a little frog in my throat. I probably spent a little too much time in Egypt down there in the hospital. Some of them frogs down in Egypt crawled up my throat while I was asleep, I think. Amen. All right, Jude in verse number 1. The Bible said, Jude the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may God add His blessing to that reading. Let's pause for just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love You this morning. I thank You for a good Sunday school time, Lord. Thank You for a good song service. Thank You for the fellowship I've enjoyed with God's people and the blessing of being back in the house of the Lord. Now I pray today, Lord, that You'd breathe upon us in a special way. We need divine help from heaven. We need help that only God's able to give. We're spiritual people. We stand in spiritual need. And You're the only one that can meet that. And I pray that You will today, whatever the need might be, in every home and every heart that's here and those by the radio as well. I ask You, Lord, today to help me. I pray You give me the strength physically and give me the power spiritually that's needed to preach the Word of God. I pray You'll help my mind to think clearly. I'd ask You to save sinners and touch the hearts and lives of God's people. And Lord, give us grace, help the sick and the afflicted today. And we'll thank You for all that is accomplished because You're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You now, and you may be seated. Now, before I announce what I'm going to be preaching on today, I want to make this statement. I don't want anybody to get any preconceived ideas about me or about anybody in the church. Because what I'm preaching on today is more or less some sort of a warning more than an admonition to the people of Island Ford Baptist Church. And I've said that to say this. My immediate future is not exactly clear in my mind. And I wanted to preach this message today, and I may preach some more down the line about it. And I hope will be a blessing and a help to you. And I want to preach today on this thought, Like I said, I don't want you to take any preconceived ideas. I'm not dying. I'm not leaving. I'm not resigning. I'm not retiring. I'm not going nowhere. And I hope that you're not either. But I want to preach to you today on the thought of creeps in the house of God. Creeps in the house of God. And I think you'll see why I'm preaching on that. Now, loosen up now. I said don't get any preconceived ideas about anything, okay? I'm preaching this to be a help and a blessing to you, to enlighten you as a church. to open your eyes. I'm not preaching to people in the church as far as condemnation. I'm preaching to help open your eyes that you might see some things that are a reality in our spiritual life that we live. And a lot of people don't believe that they are, but I'm telling you, they are a reality in our Christian life. A lot of people don't want to deal with the issues, but the issues at hand that I'm speaking of today may have to be dealt with some way by you. We've already dealt with them a number of times and may have to deal with them again. But I want to preach on the thought of creeps in the house of God. Now, in verse number 3, that's not my text, but in verse number 3, Jude exhorts his readers here to engage in a constant defense of the truth. He tells them there about earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. And the reason being is because that some false teachers and ungodly men had already crept into the congregation of the early church. And he's writing this in the early days and the beginning of the church. And apparently ungodly men, it says over in verse number 15, I think, Enoch, he talks about Enoch and ungodly men maybe four times there. And so ungodly men had already crept into the house of God. And he's writing here to tell the people to earnestly contend for that faith. In other words, don't let false teachers deprive you of the truth. You're the son. If the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And don't let another bring you into bondage. You don't have to let another man bring you into bondage. If Christ has delivered you, you're not only free, but you're free indeed. That means you are free indeed. And so the occasion here is because false teachers and ungodly men had already made their way into the house of God. In fact, in verse number 4, we find the occasion of such a strong declaration. False teachers have crept into the house of God and have corrupted the precious doctrines of the grace of God. They had corrupted the doctrines of grace. Now, I want to say something to you. I'm not much of a preacher, and I'm not much of, I don't guess, a man of God or a Christian, but one thing I know, that it is by the grace of God. And I'm talking about the unmerited love and favor of God toward you and I that have been redeemed by His precious blood. And there's men that have crept in or will creep in that will turn that grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, I don't know how that's done. That word lasciviousness literally means something filthy. Something filthy. And what Jude is saying here is that there's men that have crept into the house of God. They're called creeps. And they've crept into the house of God, crept in among God's people, and they have so corrupted the doctrines of grace that they have made it a filthy thing. Now, the only way I can explain that is that in some way they have trodden under their feet the hallowed blood of the Son of God. In some way, they have mixed works with grace. And in doing so, they deny the grace of God. Can you understand that? If somebody says you've got to be saved, but you also got to be baptized, they have corrupted the doctrine of grace. Amen. Amen. That is exactly right. Baptism never saved anybody. And we certainly don't believe in pedo-baptism. We don't believe in baptizing babies and washing away their sins. A man to wash away his sins or a woman has got to come to a water, but it's the water of the Word of God. And they also must be bathed in the fountain, the blood that's been drawn from Emmanuel's veins. That's the only way they're going to get saved. And if you add anything to that, friend, you have corrupted the grace of God. And then when you corrupt the grace of God, you deny the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You get a hold of that? He said, these men have denied the Lord. Now somebody said, preacher, you ought to preach that way. I'm telling you, there are cults all over America and in Madisonville, Kentucky, that have denied the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ because they have denied, they have corrupted the doctrine of grace. You cannot get around Paul when he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't get around that. And so they have corrupted the Word of God. And if you don't think they'll creep in, I want to read you a verse of Scripture. If you want to look there, you can in Acts chapter number 20. Paul is addressing the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter number 20. And this is his last visit there. He's making his way to Jerusalem. He'll never return there again. And in verse number 28, Paul said this to the Ephesian elders, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now get this, what he said. He said, "For I know this." He didn't say it might. He didn't say, "I might know this." He said, "For I know this." That's a positive affirmation. Paul said, "I know what's going to happen when I'm gone. I don't have to worry, think about it. I know what is going to happen when I'm gone." He said, "Therefore, this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock." And they won't. They won't. What he's saying is that men will enter in, ungodly men, creeps will enter in, and they'll not spare the flock of God. They're not concerned about the people. They're concerned about themselves. The Bible said, or Jesus himself said, they are hirelings. And he said, when the wolf cometh, a hireling will flee because he is not the shepherd of the sheep. That's right. Amen. And these, what Jude is talking about here, they're hirelings. They're wolves. And Paul said they'll creep in. But I'm going to tell you, here's the one that gets me. In verse 30, he said, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Among you, people in your own congregation at Ephesus, he said they'll arise right out of their own congregation. And what they'll do when they get there, he said they'll speak perverse things and they will draw away people unto themselves. I won't say this. A man that would split a church and lead people out of the house of God and split a church is an egg-sucking moron. He wears lace on his drawers. Amen. He don't know God from Adam's house cat. He's lost and on his way to hell and knows absolutely nothing about the Bible or nothing about a God called man or nothing about the church or nothing about the power of the blood of Christ that redeemed them from their sins. Yeah. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Then here's what Paul said. Here's the admonition. He said, "Therefore, watch. Keep your eyes open." That's what I'm telling you about this morning. Keep your eyes open to folks that may come into the church and join the church. Somebody said, "Well, they're all good people." Well, there's only one thing wrong with that saying. There's none good, no, not one. But you better keep your eye on them. I'm telling you, flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so you better watch that crowd. Jonathan there knows exactly what I'm talking about. He's seen them in Mexico, buddy. Creeps that have crept in. Now, he said, you better watch. He said, you better watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, Paul said, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. He said, I'm telling you what's going to happen. And so I'm telling you what might happen. I hope it never happens, but it might happen. And so you keep your eyes on them that come in the door, and you keep your eyes on them that are sitting in the church, because I'm telling you, they may very well be a hireling. They may very well be a wolf. They will not spare the flock. They care nothing of the people, but their belly is their God, and they're more interested in self than they are interested in the work of God and the people of God. Amen. And getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus to a lost and dying world, that sinners out there might be saved. Amen. That's exactly right. Now, Jude says that they made their entrance unawares. They made their entrance unawares. They crept in by stealth. They come in unawares. And the word implies to settle alongside. That in other words, they just come in and settle down alongside. And I'm telling you, lost men who have settled down in the church, that's what he's talking about, and they feel comfortable there. What an indictment on that church. What an indictment on that church. That these men came in and they could not recognize wicked men that was sent there by Satan. They had no discernment whatsoever. I want you to try the spirits. I want you to know what spirit they are of. I want you to have spiritual discernment, spiritual enlightenment. Hey, that ought to be in all of us. If God ought to, hey, we ought to ask God to give us that light. We ought to ask God to give us that enlightenment and understanding about people that we can look at them. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to judge them. Let's God, you can judge them by the fruit that they bear. I'm going to tell you something. A hedge apple tree ain't never going to bring forth a golden delicious boy or a gala. We moved to South Carolina and right outside our door. Right in front of the house. The spring came after we got there in 82. Spring came in 83 and that tree blossomed out. I said, honey, look at that apple tree. Boy, that boy just had blossoms and blooms. I said, man, we're going to have apples galore. But when the blooms started falling off, the apples began to appear. And as they grew, I realized I'd been deceived. They wasn't apples at all. They were hedge apples. You couldn't eat one of the egg-sucking things if you wanted to. But I'm telling you, in bloom, they look good to me. But when the fruit appeared, it didn't take a real man of understanding. It didn't take a man that had grown an orchard. It didn't take a man like that to realize they were crab apples. And I'm telling you that if you're saved by the grace of God and the Holy Ghost is in you, like Brother Gray said this morning, He will enlighten you and guide you into all truth and give you an understanding that they're hedge apples and not gala apples that have crept into the house of God, and they're creeps that have crept in. Yes. Amen right there. Yes, sir. Now, they come in and settle alongside lost people, and they feel comfortable sitting there. God have mercy. That ought to be an indictment on any church, shouldn't it? And the word also means to lodge stealthily, or that is, they come in by stealth. They remain there among the people who remain unaware of their presence and the damage they are doing to the spiritual well-being of the church. Boy, there's some people that will come in to tear the church down little by little, and you wouldn't even recognize it. You wouldn't really know what they're doing. I'll say more about that in just a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I'm going to tell you, let me give you three little Bible stories about this. You know the parables in Matthew 13? The message won't be long. I promise you that. Matthew 13, and he's talking about the parables of the kingdom. And through verses 24 and 26, Jesus said another parable, put he forth unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, there you are. It wasn't God, it was while men slept. God never slumbers or never sleeps, but the problem occurs when the church goes to sleep on God. Amen. We ought to be mentally aware and spiritually aware of everything that goes on in the house of God. And watch and remember and keep our eyes open. God has given us warnings that those men not may come, they will come. And they'll not spare you, buddy. They'll break hearts and grieve hearts. They'll preach lies to make themselves look good. And so on and so forth. But it happens that while men slept, they were unaware of what was going on. Hey, you don't know what's going on when you're asleep. We lay down in our house every night and go to sleep and don't have any idea of what's taking place while we're asleep. They didn't know what was going on. But they know nothing about what's going on when you're asleep and there is nothing anymore. I can't read my own writing. Any more sad than a spiritual sleeping church. Now, I won't say this. Get this. He said his enemy, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Can I say this to you this morning? When the tares appear also, when they appear, when they surface, when these ungodly men, when these creeps, when they come to surface, listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. They're already in bloom, and it's too late to correct the problem. It's you've let it go too far. I'm telling you, the best way to take care of business, and forgive me for this, is like Barney Fife used to say, nip in the bud, and nip in the bud. And nip or fast. Amen. That's right. And as a matter of fact, it was so late. Now listen carefully. They had to live with the tares until harvest. Do you realize these ungodly men can get so embedded in the house of God that there is nothing that we can do but to live with that crowd until the harvest comes, and then God will take care of it. Now, I'm going to tell you what He'll do. He'll gather the tares first in bundles to be burned. I want to say this to you. The tares are going to be bundled before the church is ever taken out. Thank God He's not coming back after a church full of tares. Praise God He's coming back after a church that is a spiritual church, a beautiful bride, a holy church without spot and without wrinkle. Hallelujah. And that's what I want Allen Ford Baptist to have. I don't want to have a bunch of egg-sucking ungodly devils in here. I want holy men and holy women that have been to Calvary and born again of the grace of God, have sold out to God, and they're living for God all the days of their life. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. Let the devil get mad. What about Ezra? What about Ezra chapter number 4 when Zerubbabel went back to build the temple? And it said there, verses 1 through 3, and it's kind of a long passage, I'm just going to read it quick. But it said, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin, now that ought to tell you something, the adversaries, they're adversaries. They heard that the children of captivity builded the temple under the Lord God of Israel. They came to Zerubbabel, to the chief of the fathers, and said unto them, let us build with you. What on heaven's name? They're adversaries. But they're under camouflage.
Right.
And they're saying, hey, let us build with you. Why? And why they want, you know why they wanted to build with them? He said, for we seek your God. Liar, liar, pants is on fire. Nose is longer than telephone wire. That's Kentucky language. He said, we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither, but Zerubbabel and Heshua, which is just a way of saying Joshua, and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel, said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel. I want to say to you that a lost man, an ungodly man, a creep that creeps in like that crowd that's adversaries, they can do nothing good for the house of God. Somebody said, oh, I don't ever want to see anybody leave. Bless God, I've seen some of them leave. I'm glad they're gone. Amen right there. I'm telling you, a church is no stronger than the weakest link, and you've got a bunch of lost people that have come in through stealth and settled down alongside the people of God. They'll do nothing but disrupt, deteriorate, tear down, and destroy the house of God. Amen. Come on now. Say amen. I'm going to tell you what, they cannot add one thing. Not one spiritual thing can they add to the church. Nothing. You know why? They're lost. They don't know anything about spiritual things. And I'm telling you, every time you turn around, their flesh is sticking up. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, another little instance is when Paul and Titus went up to Jerusalem. And Paul said, neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, how? Unawares. They were brought in who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Do what? They will come in unaware and spied out our liberty that they might bring us unto bondage. Hey, you better listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. This is the nature of creeps. This is the nature of creeps. They attempt to find things or flaws in your spiritual life that they can use as a leverage bar to control you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They'll try to look at things in your life, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but they'll make themselves seem so spiritual in your eyes and make you feel like a little moron if they can't, and they'll do that they might control you and bring you into bondage. God help, don't let somebody like that creep in here. If I'm gone, if I'm in the grave, I'll raise up, bless God, and haunt this place the rest of your life. No, sir, don't you ever let that happen. No creeps. Ungodly men. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that crowd. How, what can they do to help the house of God? Amen. Amen. They want to control you. Now I've only got a few things and I'm done. I want to say their deployment. They said they have crept in, and they crept in how? Unawares. They crept in by stealth. Now, I want to mention three ways that creeps can creep in. Number one, they can creep in by their profession. By their profession of faith. The Bible said in Galatians 2:4, false brethren unawares brought in who privately to spy out our liberty. False brethren. You know what is this false brethren? They said they were brethren. But they were false brethren. They were lost. And they came in by profession of faith and tried to lead everybody to believe that they were so spiritual. But in the end, you're going to find out that they're not spiritual at all. They're ungodly men that Jude said are creeps that have crept into the house of God to tear you down and to control you if they possibly can. Not sparing the flock. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Praise God, if you want to tell a wolf it's in sheep's clothing, raise his hair up and look at his eyes.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if I studied anything about people, I look at their eyes.
Amen.
Man, the woman's eyes will tell you a whole lot about what they are, friend.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You better look at them eyes. Now, the way under that, you might find ears. Somebody said, now that's kind of funny. No, it ain't funny. You know, I'll tell you why. Because them bunch of creeps, they're always creeping around trying to pick up everything they can hear to spread that junk around through the whole church. They'll spread it around, boy. They got ears under that wool. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They'll spread that junk around through the church. And some men will believe it, and thank God some won't. Now, so they'll creep in by false profession. I won't say this, and I hope none of you men take offense to this. I don't mean for you to take offense to it. But some of them will creep in by preaching. By preaching. They enter the church by intrusion or by invasion of the office of preaching. I'm going to tell you, God help a man that will try to make intrusion into the preaching or the pastoral or the pastor's office in a house of God. Boy, I'm telling you, they're dangerous. They're dangerous. And I'm telling you, I'm a preacher. We had one come in here a few years ago. Oh, I'm a preacher. I'm going to tell you, he was running around looking for some church that would put their approval on him, because when he left here, he went to another one over in Muhlenberg County. And I'm going to tell you what he was. He had teeth about that long, bless God. He looked like a rhinoceros upside down.
Amen.
Elephant tusks. Pointed ears. Beady eyes.
Amen.
And hey, I want to say this. You listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Behind every man like that, there's always a woman. Keep your eyes on the female.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of alpha females that have crept into the house of God, and that man ain't nothing but a puppet being run by her.
Amen.
God help a man that will let his wife run him. I love my wife. She don't have to run me. I just do for her because I love her, but she never tries to run me and run things.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I know how to take care of my own business. I'm not exactly senile yet. Some of y'all may think I am, but I'm not yet. Come on now, you say amen. There are none so prone to errors as those who have a defect in their calling. I've seen them all my life. I could tell you of a man right now. He knows him. Stood in this pulpit. And today, you know what he's doing for the Lord? For his preaching? Nothing! Nothing! I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Some men have been called to salvation, and they think they've been called to preach. And they answer the call to preach, and they've never been saved. Come on in the house, boys and girls. It's preaching time today, praise God. I'm telling you this to help them. Now, you may think, Brother Hall, you're crazy. This will never happen. Honey, I've been around a long time. I've been preaching for a few years and been in a few churches. And every one I've been in, I found it to be so that there are creeps there that have crept in out of words. And they'll do everything they can to scatter the sheep. You know why? The sheep are not theirs. They're a hireling. They'll do everything they can to scatter the flock. Amen. You might as well say amen. They're prone to errors. They're prone to errors because they have a defect in their calling. And then they presume without warrant. What do you mean, preacher? They're not called. They presume without warrant. They presume upon God. I had heard a fella down at one of the big camp meetings, and I love the moderator of the meeting. I love the camp. But I heard a fella down there say, I just started preaching and God didn't stop me. So I just kept on. There's only one thing wrong with that. You've got to have a divine call of God. And I'm telling you, it takes more than mooshing the bag, son, to walk with God and live right. Better believe it does. Amen. That's right. They presume without warrant. They've got no reason to fill the pulpit because they've never been called of God. I'm telling you, and I was down there in the hospital, and one of the nurses said, what compelled you to go into the ministry? I said, ma'am, I didn't go into the ministry. She said, well, you just told me you're a preacher. I said, I am. She said, well, what are you doing in the ministry? I said, God called me. There was a little black girl sitting there. She said, I know what you're talking about, Mr. Hall. At one nurse said, you get up and probably preach a good 15 or 20 minute sermon. Little black girl grinned and said, not him. So you know what? And even my main doctor told that one nurse, said, I know the kind of church he's at. I've heard him preach. In fact, he did a blood pressure test on evangelical missionary Baptists to see how high their blood pressure went while they're preaching. He said one of them went over 200 on the top. I said, Lord, am I blowed up?
Amen.
Some goes up, some goes down. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a cross up if I ever seen it. I never in my life. I got down over there the other night. My blood pressure was high. And I said, honey, watch me make it go down. She said, how you going to do it? I just grabbed hold of a coffee table and started doing knee bends and blowing out. Doing knee bends. Doing. And I'm not joking you. It was 150 something over something. And after about 7 or 8 knee bends and blowing out, it was 90. That's right. So some goes up and some goes down. They told me how to bring mine down, how to make it go up. But I'm not telling you how they said to make it go up. They'd embarrass some of you. But they presume without warrant. Men who will not submit their gifts for public approbation just draw suspicion to me. They just draw suspicion to me, buddy. Somebody said, what do you mean? I'm talking about men that never get anything done for God. They claim to be called to preach, but they never get anything done for God. Bill Nolan used to say, every possum God calls, he gives him a persimmon tree to set in. And I believe it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm about done. Somebody said, thank God. When men are out of place in the church, they are not a blessing, but they breed confusion and mischief. What about Diotrephes in 3 John? The Bible said he receiveth not the brethren, and he loves to have the preeminence. Look at me! What I am! How spiritual I am! If I was pastoring this church, it'd be different than what it is now. It probably would be. It'd probably have the chair stacked up in the corner, bless God, and be having bingo on Thursday nights and square dances on Saturday night. That's right. God help a man do something like that. That's right. Also in Ephesians 4:14, henceforth we're not to be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Did you get a hold of that? Men actually lie in wait to deceive, and they do it by cunning craftiness. They do it intentionally. That is their game. That's what they're doing. And somebody said, how'd they get there? I just told you a while ago how they get there. While men slept, an enemy came and sold tares. That's how they got there. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'm having fun. I don't know whether you are or not. Nor am I. I'm not dry. My throat's about to dry out on me. What quit on me? I've just got to wet my whistle a little bit. There it goes. That whistle. Now, the last and final way here, this will take a few minutes. They creep in by pretense. They creep into the hearts and affections of people, instilling their error drop by drop. Not all at once, drop by drop. And they do it pretending themselves to be friends of truth and righteousness. Now, I've got to be careful here. But a lot of them do it by their strict standards. Oh, my standards. I had a woman here one time that had hair plumb down to here. She said, I know I'm more spiritual than your wife. I said, how do you know that? She said, my hair's longer than hers. All right. I think a woman ought to have long hair. But I'm going to tell you something. It didn't say you had to be Rapunzel. Amen. 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 And I'm telling you, this crowd wants to show their spirituality and their strict standards. I'm going to tell you something. There was a warning to the Pharisees about that. Jesus said to the multitude and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Just exactly like that Pharisee and that publican in Luke that went down to the temple, and that Pharisee said, oh, thank God I tithe everything I got. Oh, I'm in the synagogue every Sabbath day. I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that. And that poor old publican just beat on his chest and said, Lord, I'm not even worthy to be here. And God said, that publican will be justified. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that creep has crept in unawares. Son, he wants everybody or she wants everybody to know they have got the standards, and they're the standard bearer in the church. That's right. Now, we're about to get there. They exalt themselves above others. But the Lord said, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. I've said this all my life in preaching, the way up is down, and the way down is up.
Yes.
I had somebody that used to be a member come to me one day and said, when you first time you said that, I didn't believe it. But then I kind of got to looking at it and saying it, and now I believe it just like you did. Now listen carefully. These creeps love recognition. That same chapter in the book of Matthew in verse 6, the Bible said about these Pharisees and scribes, said they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and chief seats in the synagogue. Well, they like to be recognized for what they are. They like people to bow down to them. They want patted on the back. They want everybody to brag and boast about what they're doing and what they've done. I'm going to tell you what my Bible tells me. When we have done everything that we can do, then we'll just back off and say, we are unprofitable servants. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say that. What the Bible said. What the Bible said. Then they love the praise of men. Verse 5 in that chapter said, but all their works they do to be seen of men. Nothing done for God, only self. They love to be seen of men. Jesus said, I tell you, they have their reward. Amen. They have their reward. Because all they want to do is be seen of men. Look at me. Look what I've done. I'm going to tell you what I want. I want Christ to hide me behind Calvary. Amen. And let me tell the story over and over again of Christ and His wonderful love. This fellow told me the other day, said, I don't know what's going to happen to you, but said, I don't believe God's done with you yet, neither do I. I love to tell the story, Brother Troy, how Christ came for old sinners like you and me and shed His precious blood on the cross that we might receive forgiveness of sin, even an inheritance in the saints alive, and become the children of liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God He suffered in my place. My name's Barabbas, by the way. I went free and Jesus died. Woo! Hallelujah. Ought to be in hell when that broke, Brother Joel. But thank God we're not. We're sitting here in God's house. And we ought to be in hell if our neck broke. Woo! And God good. Thank God. Any preacher don't love to tell that story, ain't no preacher. Heard a young preacher get up one time in a meeting, stood there for 10 minutes telling everybody how he loved Jesus. He got done preaching, an old man got up. He said, young man, I don't mean to embarrass you, but he said, it's really not how much you love Jesus. He said, the story is how much Jesus loved you. That's right. He loved us that we might love Him. And praise God, bless God. He left glory. He left heaven. He left the bosom of the Father and came out of the Father, went back to the Father, sent the Holy Ghost back down here, and someday the Holy Ghost take us up there and we're all going to be in the Father and all be one. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right, Sister Gray. Thank you, Jesus is right. Amen. They like to be meek. That Bible said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raven wolves. They love to act like they're so meek and timid and shy and backward. They're full of love and kindness, and they're tender and they're shy. They just act so shy and sheepish. You better be careful. You better be careful. Then they have all kinds of spiritual revelations. They appear to be more spiritual than everybody else. Look how spiritual I am. Look how much I know. Look how well-versed I am. I'm going to tell you what I know. I can sum it up in one sentence, what I know. Christ and Him crucified. The hope of the world. That's it. That's what I know. Woo! Christ and Him crucified. The hope of the world. Now here's some observations for the church. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. When those creeps come in like Jude's talking about, the damage is done. They're like a small leak in a ship. And you never know it, it's there until the ship begins to sink.
Right.
Many churches don't realize they're there until the ship begins to go down. That's right. It ought to press us to prayer and watchfulness.
Yes.
Proverbs, Solomon said in Proverbs 14:15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. We ought to press prayer. It enlightens us. These people come in, it ought to enlighten us. Somebody said, how, preacher? Because heresy and apostasy never appear in their own colors. Now, you'll get a hold of that after a while. They never appear in their own colors. They'll look as pure as the driven snow. They're like whited sepulchers that men tread on and don't even realize they're there. They look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're full of ravenous and dead men's bones. They never come in their real color. And it ought to reveal to you why the pastor presses you to be cautious. I'm doing that right now the best I know how. Be careful. I'm speaking to you as a church.
Amen.
To be careful. For you, all of you. Well, I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. And I said, don't come to no conclusions, but God told me to preach this, and I did.
Amen.
For the way I feel right now, I could preach on for an hour and a half. I feel good. I may not feel too good when I'm done, but right now I'm doing good. Matter of fact, I'm going to dart in there and take my blood pressure and just see what it is. Brought my cup with me. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Watch and pray. Be careful. And don't fall into the clutches of a wolf in sheep's clothing. Let's stand together.